Blog Talk Radio.
Another informative guest for you. He is out of Chicago, Illinois, and he is called Metaphysic Mark. And Mark is going to talk about DNA. He's going to get into metaphysics tonight, and I'm going to pull Mark up so we can be introduced to Mark here. Let's see what is going on. And Mark, greetings. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Beverly. Thank you for allowing me to be a guest on your show. Like you said,
give
I'm out of Chicago.
Give us your full name, Mark.
Hello?
Can you give us your full name?
Mark Gaston.
Okay.
And my email is markgaston1@hotmail.com for any of the listeners who want to email me after the show.
Okay, now that's M-A-R-K, and your last name is
G-A-S-T-O-N.
Okay, and one, and then it's at hotmail.com.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Now, how long have you been into metaphysics?
Approximately the last 12 to 13 years.
Okay. And what got you into metaphysics?
The thing that inspired me was listening to Coltrane, tell you the truth. Listening to Coltrane, and I had a moment where I had a voice enter my head, and it said to me that I can continue on my life the way it was, or I can search for truth. And that search for truth is what led me to metaphysics.
And by you studying and living metaphysics, have it changed your life that you can tell?
Well, the biggest thing is that you have to know truth for yourself, not somebody else's version of the truth, which means that you become responsible, or what I would say a sovereign, as opposed to a slave. And the sovereign takes responsibility as well as ownership of their life and for what happens to them in this life. And I would say also that it broke a lot of paradigms down for me that I felt was real or true that was disguised. And I would have no other way of knowing it until I began to go inside of myself and to know what was coming forth from me as opposed to what I was receiving.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard people ask, what is metaphysics?
Well, I'll say this. It's higher science. Okay. The short, brief version of it is higher science. And it also implies looking into the invisible realm of life as opposed to relying on the small percent of the fragmented aspect of this reality and calling it life. So what we see is fragmented through our ability to refract light through our eyes, what we call reality, because reality is related to our perception of life. And if that the reality is fragmented by our perception based upon our ability to perceive what's around us, then we really don't know what we're looking at.
Okay.
So when you go into the invisible realm or the etheric realm, you begin to uncover more truths about yourself and what is behind the movement of certain things, as opposed to becoming a victim or perpetrator to those things that's happening to you and around you.
Now, a few weeks ago, you did a forum in Chicago. And what was the name of your forum?
Well, I did a forum with Robert X.
Okay.
I can't recall
it was the
exact title
DNA
of that forum. Excuse me?
You were talking about the DNA, the synthesis of the nine?
Synthesis of the number nine as it relates to DNA, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes.
Now,
before,
tell us, explain to us, what is that about?
Well, the synthesis of the number nine in DNA is given a correlation with a lot of things concerning the reality that we exist within as relates to the number nine in the DNA. But before we get into that, there's some other things I want to share with your listening audience. First, I want to, because the DNA is critical to our ascension into the fifth dimension, which this planet is shifting into. And being prepared for that shift and the activation of DNA is critical. So at this time, I want to talk about something that can prepare us to allow that process to take place. And the first thing I want the listeners to hear is about fear before we get into the show about the DNA. The first thing we need to do is to get rid of fear. The second will be the ego, which is an artificial imitation of yourself. Okay? Now let's talk about this thing we call fear. Fear came to this, we came to this planet to be released from the karmic debt that we have created over previous incarnations. Okay? Now, we must forgive those ones that we feel has hurt us, and we must forgive ourselves, because this is the only way that you can release the karmic debt. The things that we go through in life is being replayed over and over and over through the hurt, through the pain, through the suffering, so that we can release that. And until we release that through the love energy, the love vibration, then we're going to keep playing that song over and over again. Well, we have to realize that whatever we're experiencing at this particular time, we had a part in creating in a previous lifetime. So it's not about what something or something that has happened to you and how you feel victimized, because that in itself indicates that you are a slave. You know, the sovereign, going back to the sovereign aspect of what I was talking to you about earlier, deals with you taking ownership of everything about your life. So then what you look at is that I have to forgive this person in order to activate the energies that's permeating on the earth right now, in order to activate my chakras that's going to help to turn on the switches that's going to activate the other aspects of our DNA. That would not happen if you're stuck in fear. So that means that if, for instance, we have an issue with white folks based upon the conditions that we are in now and based upon the previous conditions prior to us coming on the scene right at this present time, we have the history about the Klan, we have the history about this government, and that history is not a pleasant one. But what I'm saying to you tonight and to your listening audience is that if it means hugging and giving high fives to a Klan member in order to get rid of the fear, in order to get rid of this negative energy that we are holding, then that's what we need to do. Because we are playing this game of karma because we are not understanding why we are here. And it's like this. If someone tossed a rock at you and hit you in the head with this rock, our first response is to throw a rock back. Never to ask the question, why was the rock thrown at me to begin with? When you begin to ask the question, why did something happen, then you begin to look internally for the answer, not from the person that threw the rock, in order to realize that you are being triggered to remember something that you have forgotten, in order not to forget again. Now, if you respond by throwing another rock at the individual that threw the rock at you, now the next time, it might be a boulder dropping on your head. So this is how
okay.
this situation plays out.
Okay. Okay, let me see if I can understand this. Okay, just say, just say that this person knocked me down. And I asked this person, why you knocked me down? And they say, because I don't like you. That's why. Or because I don't like you, or because I don't like your color. And then I'm trying to reason with this person, and they knock me down again. So
okay.
What am I supposed to do?
Okay. Again, if you are knocked down by an individual and you're trying to get a resolution as to why that person did that, whether it was out of their ignorance or was something to trigger within you, a particular memory or particular event that you have to understand and overcome to being pushed down. And I'm not saying just kindly accept being pushed down. Maybe you need to get out the way. But at the same time, I'm not saying that avoid confrontation. I'm saying don't look at it in an angry manner. I'm saying try to find out the science behind what's happening, not just what's happening. Now, the person themselves may not even know why they did what they did. The answer is within you. The answer is not within them. So we are not looking for somebody else to give us the answer. We're trying to figure out in ourselves why something happened. You know,
well,
not necessarily, getting the answer from them, because they may not know the answer.
Okay, so what about if I come up with the answer, while they're knocking me down, then it comes to me that, well, they are dealing out of fear. They fear me. And so,
okay,
you know, where I go from there. This
okay,
person kicking my ass, but they kicking my ass because they fear me.
I'm going to say this. If we are in a situation where we are being confronted in a physical way or in a violent way, again, it might have been something that you did in a previous lifetime that now that karmic debt is being worked out on the other hand. Now, can you accept what you dished out?
Well, maybe it's because
you don't remember that you dished it out. But what's happening to us, according to the laws of Maya, which means truth, justice, and reciprocity, again, what goes around comes around. Now, if they have an issue and it's not your issue, then they have a karmic debt associated with that, not you. And by you playing the part of allowing that process to take place, not allowing yourself to feel victimized by that process, you're relieving yourself of that karmic debt that you had incurred in previous lifetimes. Now, you understand?
So I can't defend myself, even though I might figure it out, that, okay, this person has a problem. Maybe this person knows that they are falsely in power, and they know that I'm waking up to who I am, who my power is, and they have this fear, and they want to beat me and keep me down or discourage me from rising and awakening. So what am I supposed to do, wait until they karma come back around again, or do I, you know, rise and fight back?
I don't know if I'm not explaining it right or thoroughly enough. everybody here on this planet Earth has a karmic debt to play, to pay. That's the reason why we're here. That's one of the reasons why we're here. The other reason why we're here is to help in the planet shifting to the third to the fifth dimension by raising our vibration and the vibration of the planet. To repay hate for hate doesn't work. To repay anger for anger doesn't work. We must be able to transition that energy from negative to positive. And this is what creates the rise in the vibration.
Is that what Obama doing? Because these other groups are sending out all this hate, and they're trying to get him to give it back, but he's not giving it back. So is that kind of what you see going on?
I don't know if Obama is aware of that or not. I mean, I really don't. I think from the campaign with the negative jabs being thrown at him by Hillary Clinton and different ones, caused him to, you know, what some people say, to have some thick skin. He doesn't let it roll off his back. But I would say that Obama is playing a role in the ascension of the consciousness of the planet, whether he knows it or not.
Okay.
Because it has activated a part of our DNA that we never expected to happen. We never expected Obama to be the president of this country. We wasn't looking forward to that. A black man being the president of this country, I should say. So him being in that position of power has changed our way of looking at reality. And it has changed of looking at reality that begins to activate a process within us that's activating our DNA. But going back again to the negativity that's being expressed, the negativity that's being expressed is the Europeans playing their role. Their role is to be the agitator. Our role is to overcome ourselves and them. And their only thing they are doing is presenting an opportunity for an aspect of us to be exposed, so then we can examine it and transfer it from one form of energy to another form of energy. That's all it's about. But it's not as simple as what I'm saying, because it's some work that has to be done with the individual to understand the process of what they're going through. If you don't, then you're going to interpret it as somebody making a move on you, and you have to defend yourself, and you have to do this, and you have to retaliate, and you have to do that. And that only allows that cycle to repeat itself. And what I'm saying is that if we want to leave this three-dimensional reality, which you must have a soul in order to do, and you not just have a soul, but you must be able to open up your heart chakra in order to leave this planet. If you can't open up your heart chakra, there's going to be some bad consequences.
Now, is it that a person has to love everybody? I mean, I'm quite sure even the people that is putting out fear and hate and agitation, they have certain groups of people, their family, that they love. So are you saying we should love everybody or what?
I'm saying that the experiences that we have experienced through the ones that has created this hurt within us, we must embrace. You know, when you feel like you have been slighted, somebody's talking behind your back, somebody's slinging mud pies at you, all kinds of things are jumping off from a negative perspective. And we might interpret it as very negative. But at the same time, what I'm saying is, can we love someone irregardless of how they feel about us? And I'm not saying this from a relationship standpoint. I'm saying from a etheric standpoint. I might not know that person. I might not even see that person. but can I love them anyway? And that means that I'm not harboring any type of negative vibrations toward that individual. You understand?
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Okay, let me give another example. I want to make sure. Now, just say
okay.
I have a child. I might have a son. And just say that he got killed. They found the guy that killed him. And, you know, we're going
That's
through the trial
example.
And all of that. And so
yes.
I'm supposed to just, I'm hurting and sad. You know, I lost my child and this person is responsible for taking that, you know. But I'm supposed to turn that around into loving that person or forgiving that person.
I'll reiterate this again. Your child, whether he was 5 or 25,
mm-hmm.
had incurred karmic debt. And that karmic debt is being played out. So what we are not realizing is the other side before we became into the present. We don't realize what we did in a previous lifetime. So we are holding, we want to hold somebody accountable for this lifetime, for the things that's happening now, not remembering what we did to place us in that situation. So we are only paying our karmic debt, and nothing ever dies. Nothing ever dies. Energy cannot be destroyed. It can only change forms. And this is paramount to our understanding. When you understand that you cannot die, then it makes everything else possible. You are out of fear of losing anything or anyone. Nothing is ever lost. Now, there's an issue of the fact that their physical presence is not there, okay? And we miss their physical presence. But if you love them, truly love them, then the essence of why you love them is within you.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, yes, you have to forgive that person and love that person with no fear, no anger, no frustration, none of that. I didn't say it was going to be easy. We don't have an easy button to make us feel all right. But this conflict that we feel is teaching us a lesson. Now, do we want to face the lesson or do we want to hold on to the fear, anger, and frustration? And I'm saying to you that when you hold on to the fear, anger, and frustration, you repeat the cycle over and over and over again. That is what we can't run away from. We cannot run away from that. Now, whether or not we do it within the three-dimensional reality or an alternative reality, when this 2012 or this earth change event takes place, it's irrelevant. We're still going to have to deal with that because that energy is what's changing. We're changing a negative energy to a positive energy to raise our vibration. That is a focal point. Nothing else matters. How I feel personally doesn't matter unless that application is taken into effect. You follow what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I cannot take it personally when somebody insults me. If somebody calls me a nigger, oh, you're a nigger. Now, I'm supposed to get mad at that? No, I'm not. I love that person anyway because I understand for me to get mad at that would cause me to play this cycle out again. Now, do you want to get off the train or you want to stay on it? That make any sense?
So, yeah, so I'm looking at it in the energy form here. So just say that I'm on this third dimension level, and if I don't get it right, I got to keep repeating. It's like a cycle. I have to keep going back through this third dimension cycle until I get it together, and then I can move on to the next dimension, and it keeps going higher and higher as I go.
Exactly, because this right here is designed for us to learn. That's all it's about. This is a learning center. a learning place. As a God, we don't have the connection to the physical reality. Only 3% of our DNA deals with our biochemical makeup. The 97% of our DNA is multidimensional. So if 97% of our DNA is multidimensional, then we are more multidimensional than we are physical.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's a proven fact. Not only that, but that's only represent two strands of our DNA. That 3% is representative of only two strands of our DNA, not 10 strands that's also multidimensional.
And what is
so
that
the,
that they...
Excuse me?
What is that they call junk DNA? That's, I mean, it's not junk just because they don't know what it is, but...
What they call junk DNA, which is the 95%, 97%, it's a multidimensional aspect of who we are. We are not conscious of the 97% because that 97% is not activated, the switches is not turned on. So they cannot detect or define what the 97% represents because they are not existing in the multidimensional aspect. And plus the fact that the DNA, the switches are turned off on that. So the event that's taking place right now on this planet is to turn on those switches to activate the 97% of the two strands of DNA in order to recombine that with the 10 strands of DNA. Follow? So what I mean by multidimensional, what I'm saying is that we can exist in more than one place at the same time. We have the ability to read Roland's. We have the ability to act and live in a telepathic way, to enter into our light body, which means that we would not be as dense as we are today. So that multidimensional aspect of us will change our whole physiology once it's activated. And this is what's going on with the expansion of the energy on this planet today. And it's paramount that we understand the fear, because the fear is what keeps the other aspects of the DNA switches turned off. If we can't overcome fear, the 97%, what they call junk, will stay turned off.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be activated because the energy that's permeating from the sun, from the corona mass ejection that's taking place right now, and sometimes you even get interference with our electricity and things of this nature because of the solar mass ejection. Now, these solar mass ejections is bringing intense energy onto the planet. And this energy has to be recombined with our DNA. This is the reason why at this particular time you have a lot of fear taking place on the planet, a lot of fear with the war, with the rumors of an imminent attack on Iran, with the fact that they're not going to, right now, it doesn't seem like they're going to extend the unemployment past December 1st.
And everybody, a lot of people is in an uproar over the pat down at the airport. And
that's right.
The machine. But this fear is being done purposely because
yes.
They don't want you to leave this vibration. They want you to stay in this vibration. They don't want you to be able to elevate to the fifth vibration.
Well, one of the things about that is that a lot of individuals will not be able to make the transition because they don't have souls. Everybody on the planet doesn't have a soul. And if you don't have a soul, you will not be able to make the transition. Another aspect of that is that the people energy is being siphoned, sacrificing to maintain this three-dimensional reality based upon our energy. So if we stay in this negative energy, it maintains the three-dimensional reality even though it's going to collapse. They don't care as long as they can stay as long as they can. They don't care about the fallout from that. They're not concerned with whether or not, you know, you evolve. That's the least that they're concerned. They're concerned about their own reality that they have created for themselves. They're not concerned with the planet. They're not concerned with the expansion to the fifth dimension. That's not their concern. They're concerned with maintaining the control of this planet and the maintaining of the people on this planet. That's their concern. But
can you tell who have souls and who do not have souls, or do you have to be at a certain vibration to be able to tell?
Well, I don't think you can look at a person and tell, because again, this is multi-dimensional aspect of us. I think that the fact that we are heavily melanated, and the fact that we are a very rhythmic people. There's a pulse between us and the universe that is very well understood, even within our music, our movement. Just everything about, I'm talking about heavily DNA people. I'm not talking about anybody else right now. And I'm not saying there are not those that doesn't have as much melanin as we do. They don't have souls because we cannot outwardly see what we know that's within us. You know, it's just our proclivity towards certain things. We don't have a lot of negative vibrations that's generated from nothing. You know, we don't look at somebody for the most part and say we hate them. You know, it has to be something that they've done to us or something they've done to someone we know before we begin to make those type of assumptions about somebody or have those kind of feelings about somebody. Where you have other groups of people that sight on scene will try to avoid you at all costs, would not shake your hand, would not say hello, things of those nature. So I would say that for the most part, I'm not saying that we, just because you're melanated, that you have a soul too.
Right, because I ran across the melanated people that I'll be wondering.
Well, again, what they're acting out is their karma and their ego. So that sometimes it's not going to give you the indication whether or not they have a soul or not, because they're acting ignorant or power hungry, you know, or power tripping. That's not going to give you the indication. You know, just because a person is nice, that doesn't mean they have a soul, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cannot determine that by physical attribution. But that's what I'm saying. There's cosmic attributions that's related to us that we feel that let us know that we have a soul. And you hear that in the music. You see it in the rhythms and the synchronicity that we have with each other, you know, not just here in the United States, but all across the planet. There's something that draws us to each other when we're around each other. We want to be around each other. We want to talk to each other. We want to communicate. We want to get to know. We want to share. And that's a part of the universal construct right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to the fear thing, and there's a couple of things I would like to share with your audience. Now, getting rid of this fear is going to definitely help to increase our vibration and move us to the earth. Now, karma is what holds us to this old paradigm.
Your phone is kind of breaking up, Mark.
Okay, how about now?
Yeah, that's bad.
How about now?
Yes,
okay, karma is what holds us to this old paradigm. And going to the new paradigm, we cannot take this karma with us. Okay. And I want to tell you about how fear works for those low-vibrating beings on the planet who are also the controllers. they actually feed off your fear. Did you hear that?
Wow,
they're
like vampires.
Feed off your fear. This fear energy gives them a high that they could not have otherwise. So it's very important for them to keep us in fear, because fear is a fool source. Now, do you want to talk about that? Or do you understand? Hello? Hello? Beverly? Hello? 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 Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you hear me?
I was disconnected. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Did you hear what I said earlier about...
Oh, I was disconnected. I think the audience could continue to hear you.
Oh, I didn't know. I was just waiting on you because I didn't know whether or not...
Oh,
you know,
okay, go ahead.
...you're coming short or not. I said they actually feed off your fear.
Okay.
Okay, and their spirit energy gives them a high that they otherwise couldn't have. And it's a food source for them. So that's even more apparent that for us to get out of this fear consciousness. Because if we get out of the fear consciousness, they begin to lose their ability to stay on this planet. Because this fear energy that's feeding them as a food source that allows them to stay on the planet. As the vibration changes from negative to positive, they cannot stay. Again, you can't stand the heat. You got to get out of the kitchen. Well, that energy has a love vibration associated with it that's not going to allow them to stay in the kitchen. So they're going to have to leave. This is the reason for... even the golf spill that happened early in the summer. This is a part of that to create this negative vibration, to create this negative energy, because, again, they feed into it as a pool source. Okay. Now, it's often been said that that heavily melanated beings are hated because they, white people, want to be like us, but they can't. There's some truth to that, but there's more to it. And I'm going to give you a little something from this book called The Cry of the Phoenix. On page 92, it says, the dilemma of evil. It's important for you want to know what's going on about you and further why the workers of the evil coalition must work so hard at winning. Those energy forms from the higher dimensions who have been placed on your planet cannot move into a higher dimensional existence without throwing off the evil. They are simply not allowed in the universal realm. There are dense, low-frequency beings who cannot survive the higher-frequency vibration of a higher dimension. In other words, they are isolated and bound to a third or lower dimension. Oh, yes, they can have invisible energy form, but they cannot bear the compression of high frequency. The desire, therefore, is to pull as many soul energies Again, let me reiterate the point. The desire, therefore, is to pour as many soul energies into a density as possible, gain control of the planet politically and economically, and kill off the overpopulation and free up the land and resources, hopefully to maintain enough balance to prevent the pole shifting. The backup plan, for they do not expect the above plan to be successful, is to have a placement prepared in a third-dimensional secure place to ride out the period of the time of the Earth. Now, what that implies is that Katrina, hello?
We hear you. We can hear you.
What that implies that the whole episode with Katrina was to bring about this fear energy from the souls of those that had perished during that event. And you can, by it being televised, they were even able to siphon more fear from the people that was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
the and, the 9/11 too.
That's correct. Because that fear energy that we create not only feeds them, but it actually helps them gain control. This is why they fear us. This is why. Because if we change the energy for those that have souls, change the energy, then this planet becomes something else that they can't stand on. They can't stay on. And you have any questions about anything that we talked about so far?
No, I've been asking you right along. If you want me to open the lines up, I can open the lines up, and then
we can
go back.
If you have some calls that just want to speak on some of the things that we have discussed so far, go ahead.
Okay. Area code 313-345. Are you there?
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead, Clyde.
No, you're on a subject that I don't know too much about, but I did hear that. Just wanted one question. I heard you mention melanin, and also, how does the pineal gland figure into that? And then into the topic which you're talking. And then another thing that I think it applies in everyday life regarding fear. Fear paralyzes you. You can't do anything. And so, and I think as a result of fear, we become subject to so many other negative influences. So that's about all I can say, a statement and a question, if you will, please.
Well, I agree with his explanation about fear paralyzing you. Again, it shuts down your ability to absorb the energy. Now, how does this work with a pineal gland is that the melanin is secreted at night while you sleep between the times of 11 and 2 in the morning. The serotonin is secreted during the morning hours. Now, that melanin is what gives you your cosmic connection. This is when you go into your dream state and you actually not only are re-energizing your body, but it gives you your connection to your soul or to your higher selves or to your other self. Now, in most Europeans, the pineal gland is calcified, so they're not able to receive the energy through their pineal in order to secrete as much melanin as that we have capacity to. Therefore, they have to take melatonin in order to acquire the melanin that allows them to even to sleep. They use it as a sleeping aid, but it actually has more capabilities than just allowing them to sleep. It's just allowing them to feel like they are all right, not just sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And was it another part of that, this question that I didn't answer, or did I answer what he asked?
Yes, he hung up. So I believe you answered what he asked. Okay. Let's see. Area code 216. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just listening. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Area code 850. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 850. Okay, they're just listening. Now, what is this? Now, you got into the fear. Now, tell us about the ego.
Okay. The ego is the artificial representation of yourself. It's not the true self. It's an artificial imitation of yourself. That means that the ego deals with the personality. It deals with that aspect of us that wants to be seen, wants to be noticed, wants to be accepted for something other than what it is. And this ego has to be neutralized because it's artificial. And anything that's artificial is not true, so it's not going to allow you to also make that transition from the third to the higher dimensions. So anytime we have negative thoughts about others and negative thoughts even about ourselves, we have to ask the question, what part do that play to the whole? And what I'm saying is that how does having this ego allow me to move forward? Not just in the physical reality, but in my spiritual body, in my life body. How does this allow me to move forward? And we would know that it's not going to allow you to move forward because it's diametrically opposed to you moving forward. It's dealing with your feelings, your emotions, and what you want as a physical being. It doesn't incorporate the whole. Is only dealing with that aspect of that 3% aspect of yourself. And this is why so, at times, excuse me?
So is that like your selfish part? Is that like when a person is very selfish?
Yes, selfish, arrogant, self-centered, uncaring, unnurturing. All of this deals with your ego because it's not embracing the total you. It doesn't see the true you. And I will tell you this. Your ego don't want to leave. And it will get to the point where it will tell you to kill you. If you want me to leave, then you kill you. Then I leave. That's how much it wants to stay. So we have to be aware of ego, of the ego by checking ourselves. And how you check yourself is not through your brain, but through your heart. When you check yourself through your heart, you're allowing the true expression of who you are to come forth. Your brain is dealing with impulses associated with previous events. And what you want to take place from the ego aspect of yourself. But when you go through your heart, then you're going to come up with some different answers than what you had coming through your head. Your head is always going to tell you to respond or to react. But your heart is going to allow you to take time to contemplate what it is that you're thinking or what it is that you're about to do and why you're about to do it. So that's why it's important to understand that aspect of yourself, because it's not there to celebrate you. It's really there to destroy you because it doesn't allow for you to express your true self. So in that sense, it's destroying you. Now, ego does it all the time.
So it's hard for you to leave the third dimension and make that transition to the fifth dimension, the first two things you have to deal with is the fear and the ego.
Right. That's absolutely correct. And the reason why it's important to know this is because while we're talking about 2012, earth changes and everything else,
mm-hmm.
I don't hear a lot of talk about this, what we're talking about today. We're talking about getting to the good part of this consciousness, but we're not talking about how you're going to get there
mm-hmm.
and what's going to be required of us to get there. And that's why it's imperative that we understand these things now before we get to the point where these changes is taking place and we are not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't be ready unless we have faced the mirror self of that ego.
Mm-hmm.
We have faced it and we have conquered it. And that's the battle. The battle is not with the government. It's not with a system of things. It's with ourselves. We have our primary objective is to overcome self. Once you have overcome self, then you have neutralized those aspects of you that will shut you down and delay your transitions from the third to the fifth, or from a low vibrating to a high vibrating being. That is the challenge. Our challenge is not anyone or anything. It's us. And once we begin to recognize that, then we can get on about the business. Everything else is a distraction. Everything else is a distraction. What I'm proposing to your listening audience is this. If you have a bill about your life getting cut off, don't worry about it. Do what you have to do, and if they get cut off, burn some candles. Whatever you're going through is irrelevant to the transitions that's taking place. If you're about to lose your job, oh, well, hey, it is what it is. If we can't overcome those aspects of ourselves, then we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems that we are not going to be able to deal with, because this energy is not going to give you time to get your stuff together if you're not getting together now. This is the time that we are allotted to get it together, so that when this energy do take place or it's become more intensified, where it's activating those parts of ourselves, that we can absorb this energy. If we're not able to absorb this energy, then there's going to be consequences.
So this is, because usually if you're worried about just, like you just said, your life getting cut off or you losing your job, then that's when the fear, the doubt, the anger, that's when all of that come in, and it do paralyze you. It do shut you down. It do takes you in a direction that makes you want to do things that you normally wouldn't do. So what you're saying, that when that happens, that's when you need to really start changing your thinking and start battling the fear and the ego, and that's how you start to change your energy, your consciousness.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I say do start now. Don't wait until something happens. Start contemplating things now, so that you are dealing with those realities before they become apparent. Start now. You know, there's no such thing as that I have to wait till this happens to deal with it. You can deal with it now. You can say, well, if I was in this situation, you know, how would I feel? And that's how you deal with it now. You know, and because you're being honest with yourself, you can embrace that when it happens. If you're not honest with yourself, then you're going to revert back to the old, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to get my life turned on, you know, I don't have any money, you don't have anything in the bank. And that fear thing is going to take over. Now, and I understand that, you know, no one have any finite finances. So whatever you have in the bank, even if you know you got $10,000, $15,000, is irrelevant if you're not able to maintain, you know, the services that you have. So you always have to prepare for any eventuality. And to prepare for it is a mental thing, more so than a physical thing, more so than a financial thing. It's a mental thing, being able to self, being uncomfortable, but yet being comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's just a difficult thing. It's not an easy thing. And I said early on in the show that I'm not proposing any easy solution. I'm just saying what it is, and that, well, I feel that's going to be necessary in order for us to deal with those dilemmas, because it's coming. It's coming. It's already in France. It's in Germany. It's in Ireland. It's all over the planet. What makes us so special that it's not coming here? We can see what's happened in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. And usually what happened is, when you don't fear, when you come up against a dilemma and you don't fear, usually you're able to connect and your creativity will start kicking in. And you'll start coming up with things that you'll be like, wow, why didn't I think of that? And you know, you're able to get yourself out of that situation or keep yourself from getting into that situation.
Correct. If there's a power outage for whatever reason, we don't have to start thinking about, you know, somebody breaking in the house and, you know, do I have a gun, do I have a pistol? It's time to start knocking on neighbor doors and get to know people. Just start to say, you know, somebody got any barbecue? I got a grill. You know, let's start getting together. Let's start becoming a community, you know. We're going to find out who knows how to play an instrument. We're going to find out who knows how to tell jokes. We're going to find out who knows how to tell stories. And we just want to begin to embrace ourselves and our individuality and our creativity. You know, but that's not what's being planned. What's being planned is for us to go into fear, start bringing the store, start rioting, start burning up the place, just, you know, just start demonstrating, start marching, start doing all kinds of things that's going nowhere. That's what's planned. So what I'm saying is that we already know that we're not going to be able to maintain this system for long. And based upon the energy that's on the planet, and they know, the controllers know what's coming down. So they have already taken measures to counter what's coming down. And those measures is to create more fear within us. And I'm saying that we have to look at it from a different perspective, even though we might be uncomfortable in dealing with services being disconnected, being in the dark, not having the necessities or the accommodations that we are accustomed to. You know, you can't wash your clothes with the washing machine. You got to wash them on your hand now, things of this nature. So once you're able to embrace those small changes, the bigger change begin to take place within you. Then you begin to smile. Then you begin to see how silly we were at times because those things wasn't important to begin with. The most important thing being here is to learn to embrace ourselves and embrace each other. Then we embrace some divinity within ourselves and within each other. Because your projection of someone in a negative light has an impact on you and your psyche. So what you throw out, you actually are receiving because that's who you're talking about. You're not talking about that one. You're talking about yourself. So when you see somebody in a negative light, it's because you see yourself in a negative light.
Now, what is going on with this DNA and this 9?
Okay, we're going to get to the DNA now. Now, the DNA and the 9, there's a lot of numbers associated with that comes to 9 give you an example. When we talk about this equinox procession that's taking place now, that happens every 25,920 years, that ends up the total nine if you count the numbers. Also, when you look at each zodiac stays in its house for 2,160 years, which also comes to a nine. It's things like that that pops up over and over and over again once you start doing your analysis. And what we know about the number nine is that nine is the number of completion. So it goes from nine then back to one again, and one representing a new beginning. But before we get heavy into the number nine, I did want to talk about some other things about the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There are 12, I'm going to talk about 12 layers of DNA and what each
mm-hmm.
layer represents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first layer of DNA represents a biological double helix. It is a master biological record of this time. It is the one in numerology and therefore has the energy meaning of new beginning. It is a 4D or four-dimensional and also multiple-dimensional instruction set for the other 11 layers. 3% of the instruction in this human genome are for the protein encoding layers, which is your physiology and biology. The rest is a massive interaction with the remaining multidimensional layers of DNA. Layer 1 is part of the first three, which are the grounding layers. You follow me so far?
Right.
Now, layer 2 is called the life lesson layer. This is the four-dimensional relationship to the interdimensional layer 8, which is the Akashic records of our lifetime on Earth. Layer 2 plus layer 8 equals the number 10. This is one in numerology representing a new beginning, just like layer 1 does. Now, going to the Akashic record, are you familiar with that term?
Right.
Okay. For your audience.
That, isn't that like the energy, the information that is stored in our DNA?
No, the Akashic record is actually a bandwidth of information that's surrounding the Earth's upper atmosphere.
Okay, so it's not out of our DNA, it's the information that is in the atmosphere.
Yes. This is the information which we can actually receive when we receive information out of the ether. This is where we're getting that information from. This is not coming from the universe itself.
Okay.
So it's the recording of all events that's taking place on Earth. And this is the way you access this information is through your vibration. So if you're vibrating on a low vibration level, you can only receive the information that's on that frequency. The higher you vibrate, the more information you have access to based upon that frequency. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So you are the library card. Your vibration is the library card. So if you want to know the events that took place in ancient Kemet, then there's a certain vibrational level you have to be on to pull down those records. If you want to know what happened in Atlantis, there's a certain vibrational level that you have to be on to pull down those records. You cannot just pull them down just because you want to. Your vibration has to match the vibration of that record. Okay. Now, layer three is the ascension layer. However, it's only the one which points to the interdimensional layer that really provides ascension status. The number three is a catalyst in numerology and works with the DNA layer number six, the prayer and communication layer. This creates a nine, which means completion in numerology. It's also affiliated with the pineal gland. This is what we were talking about going back to the nine, how the two, you will have comparative numbers that ends up, no matter how many numbers there are, going back to nine. Now, layer four and five together are the essence of our expression of this specific life on Earth and your divinity on the planet. They represent the name of the, on the crystal on the Akashic records. Together, they can be understood as the primarily the, and most important, the spiritual attributes of all is attribute of all is the tree of life, which is family. These are names of gods and should never be thought of as a separate layer. They are part of the divinity group. Now, I just want to give you a little something from that to get an understanding, because there's so much information, I don't want to waste a lot of time going through the whole article on the 12 layers of DNA to get an audience some aspects of how each layer of the DNA works to access certain parts of who and what you are. And this is what I'm attempting to do in order for the people to begin to do the research on their own, because there's no one person or a website or teacher that's going to give anybody all of the information. We all have to do our due diligence and begin to research for ourselves, begin to put forth the energy and the effort to activate our DNA. And DNA also has to do with consciousness. Activating the DNA also has to do with consciousness. The more consciousness we become, it allows us to search within ourselves for ways in which to activate this DNA. There's no one way to doing anything. There's no one way to activate this DNA. I'm giving you my perspective on this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is some of the changes with the DNA that's happening now. And this article is titled "The 12 Strands DNA Changes, Evidence, and Remedies." And this was done. This research was done by this doctor called Verinda Fox, and this is what she said about the changes in the DNA right now, particularly with the children. She said everyone has one double helix of DNA. What we are finding is that there are other helixes that are being formed. In the double helix, there are two strands of DNA coiled in a spiral. It's my understanding that we will be developing 12 helixes during this time, which seems to have started maybe 5 to 20 years ago. This is when this is the time when the indigo children, are you familiar with the indigo children?
Yeah.
The indigo children have been was beginning to be born at this particular time, and now we have the crystal children that's on the planet now.
Now, what time did you say the indigo was? What time did you say the indigos were born?
About 15, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Most of the indigo children were born around that time, and within about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, you begin to have these crystal children on the planet today.
Okay.
Now, it says, during this time, which seemed to have started maybe 5 to 20 years ago, we have been mutating. This is a scientific explanation. It's a mutation of our species into something for which the end result is not yet known. the changes are not known publicly because the scientific community feels it will frighten the population. You see how they manipulating us?
Right.
You know, we know something happened, but we ain't telling nobody because everybody's going to get scared.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know everybody's going to get scared unless you're going to put it out in a way that's going to be fearful to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can logically conclude, because you can't tell me what I'm going to feel based upon the information you put out there. You don't know me. However, people are changing at a cellular level, and I'm working with 3 children right now who have 3 DNA helixes. Now, again, most of us have 2. Now, these children are born with 3, and some of them even more than that. That's indicating that these crystal children that's being born is coming with knowledge that we have no clue of. This is why, when I don't know if you have any grandchildren
mm-hmm.
or things of this nature, but if you do, or you know people that does, you can tell that these children are not like the ones 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Right.
You know, they come out knowing things that they should know.
Right. But from day one, when they come out the womb, you can see it in their eyes. You can see how they look at you.
And this is not something that we can give ourselves credit for. This is not something for us to sit back and pat ourselves on the back
mm-hmm.
in that ego type of, you know, persona. This is something to be in awe of. For sure, because these children is coming with a vibration to help facilitate the change on the planet, whether we understand that or not. And I think in our communities, a lot of us don't know, and we are trying to treat those children like past generation children have been treated, not understanding how unique these children are.
Right.
Most people know and feel this. Many religions have talked about the change and know it would come about in a different way. We know it is a positive mutation, even though physically, mentally, emotionally, it can be misunderstood and frightening. So these children who can move objects across the room just by concentrating on them, or they can feel glasses of water just by looking at them, they are telepathic. You will almost think by knowing these children that they are half angelic or superhuman. They are not. I think they are what we're going into during the next few decades. I won't even say the next few decades. For those that can allow themselves to process this energy that's coming on the planet right now, I don't think we have a couple decades to get it. But see, this is from a scientific standpoint, and I would venture to say that this person is not feeling connected with the information itself, which means that they're looking at it only from a scientific aspect, not as a person that's going through these changes themselves and are articulating the changes that's happening within them as well as within the children. It seems like most people were born, back to the article, it seems like most people who are born before 1940 have not been able to make the shift, but have initiated something to the next generation that gives them the capacity to form another helix within our lifetime. Our immune and endocrine system are the most evidence of these changes. That's the one reason, okay, now then it goes on to say, some adults that I have tested actually do have another DNA helix forming. Some are even getting their third. These people are going through a lot of major shifts in their consciousness and physical bodies because of all one and one, my opinion. The earth and everyone here is rising in their vibration. Many children born recently have bodies that are magnetically lighter.
Mm-hmm.
and this is what we are becoming ourselves. Now, the children are the forerunners. The children are the forerunners as to what we are to become. So when we see these changes happening on with these children, we know that it's going to happen with us based upon our consciousness and vibration. So that's even, I'm not sure what part of the script that it talks about, and the children should lead them, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall something similar to that?
You're talking about the Bible?
Yeah, about that particular phrase, about the, and they should be led by children, or unless
what?
They be like children.
Right.
You know,
see,
I'm not really
familiar with the Bible, so I can't tell you.
Okay. Do you have any callers waiting?
Yeah, hold on a minute. Let me see. Area code 216. Area code 216. Okay, what about area code 850?
LD Charger, but I got this from the library and I left it.
Error code 850, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I'm glad he did. I'm glad somebody told her finally.
Okay, let me go to the next one here. Area code 904, do you have a question or comment? Area code 904? Are you still there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I'm having problems with the switchboard. Area code 815. Area code 815. I don't know if they can hear me or not. I'm not getting any response here. Yeah, let me try this one. Area code 313-205. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I first want to greet y'all. Peace and love. You're making it plain for Brother Mark. How you doing, Miss Beverly?
Doing,
I just wanted to say that going through a lot over here, I'm glad that you started speaking on indigos and crystal trials, because I know that I'm one, and I'm a young hood cat, three-dimensional, so I'm going through some things with myself. And I know y'all run out of time, but I just want to, like, get straight to it. Like, and I hope, you know, Brother Mark, you can comment on it. On the night of the Grand Crux, Lunar Alignment, June 26, 2010, my guides and my guardians directed me to take what they told me afterwards was called a last walk of servitude. I was dressed in all white, and I had on this oil from head to toe, and I walked around this big block, like, with my hands behind my back, and they just speaking to me the whole time. And then I woke up the next morning, and I just began speaking to all manners of existence. I'm talking about from the sun, the sea, birds, grass, malevolent aliens, angels, and all kinds of things. And I know I ain't got to explain to y'all. Y'all into this. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just need somebody to comment on it, because, like I said, I'm in this by myself, and you're making it real plain, and I know it's far beyond the colors down here, but, you know, I'm a black man, you know, and I'm tattooed up, all this, that, whatever. Nobody want to even look at me, you know what I'm saying? So when I come talking this spiritual ascension, you know, not only are they unequipped to even speak on it, you know, they don't even want to give me the time of day because, you know, sociologically speaking, I'm diagnosed, you know, paranoid schizophrenic and all that. But I know that spiritually, can't nothing attest for the things that I'm seeing. I mean, the sun even changed the way it shined, you know, when I spoke to it. And now every day, like when I look at the sunshine, you know how you can see it, you know, it's bright sometimes. It's so bright you can barely make out that it's a sphere. But now when I stare at it, it's just like the haze just disappears, and it's just like a golden ball in the sky. And I just want to, you know, I want to ask you, is it like DNA upgrading, that's what it is, or whatever? Because I got, just like I got guides and guardians helping me to get through this, I got, you know, like you was talking about, I got the, you know, soul suckers that's all around me. I mean, even in government and law enforcement and all of that, because I got a history with that. So is there anything that, you know, you can tell me or ask me about, you know, what I'm going through? Because that's just the very tip of a large iceberg that I'm going through over here.
Well, first, brother, thank you for that, for sharing your experience with me. I appreciate that, and thank you for sharing with the audience. This is what I'm talking about. You are a classic example of the changes taking place on the planet and within us. And believe me, brother, embrace all of what's going on, because what they're trying to do is they recognize within you the changes that's taking place.
Right.
They recognize that this is not going to be something that they can reckon with. So you're going to get a lot of hostility. You're going to get a lot of negativity. But let it run off you like water's on a duck's back. Don't let it affect your energy. Stay positive and continue to do what you're doing. Go into your heart at times and ask yourself any questions that you want to have answered and to have dealt with. Now, the difficult thing, being isolated from a conscious community, makes it very difficult. But you will be the forerunner in your area. So there are going to be people that's going to be looking for you when the changes take place. And what I mean by changes taking place, I'm talking about visitors, shifts, the whole nine.
Right.
When those changes take place, they are going to come running to you.
And
encouraged to know that you are highly exalted to have the position that you have. And I'm not, you know, I don't puff up nobody. That's
right.
Not what I do. But I recognize that you have been chosen for a particular task. So you ought to embrace that and everything that comes with it.
Okay. All right. Is there any, you got it like website, anything? I'm to like elaborate a little more on what I'm going through, because I'm shut off from that.
I'll tell you what, you got my email address. Send me an email. I try to touch base with you. I have some DVDs I can share with you. And try to keep you informed on some different things, or communicate with you, see what it is that you would like, and or try to lead you in the direction that you want to be taken to. So just send me an email and let me know what you want, what you're interested in, and we can go forward from there.
Okay. All right, thanks.
You got my email address.
Did you get it?
No, what is it?
Mark.
Do you get it, Beverly?
Yes, it's Mark, M-A-R-K, and it's Gaston, G-A-S-T-O-N, 1@hotmail.com.
Okay. All right, brother, I appreciate it.
And I will say this, brother. Don't worry about anything that the police is doing or anybody else is doing.
Okay.
You are only, you know how we say, you got my back.
Yeah.
You know how we use that phrase, you got my back. Well, don't worry about your back. Your back is got.
For sure.
Only be concerned with where you're going.
Yeah.
So what
I'm
saying is,
saying,
just
focus on
where you're going. Don't worry about your back, because your back is got.
For sure. I appreciate it, because I've been moved past the police, man. The Majestic 12 on my head, National Security Agent. But like I said, it is what it is. They know I got a powerful legion in the sky and in the spirit. So like I said, they trembling. I appreciate it.
Yes. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of buzz out here. And always, it sounds like you got your chakras open.
I'm emanating from the thousand petals. I'm emanating from.
Hey, you're talking with the gods.
For sure.
And they telling you, you one of us.
Yeah.
Don't bow down to me. Don't beg to me. Talk to me like I'm you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's how they want you to take charge. They want you to take charge and take authority. You know,
yeah, bro,
so I feel like a human.
Yeah, I got a lot to tell you, bro. I've been into some things over here. I'm open up to you. I'm write it in the next couple of days. I appreciate you.
All right, send me an email, and I'll try to touch base with you on the phone.
All right, for sure.
All right, for sure.
Thanks, right, caller.
Peace.
And so, Mark, are we starting to become more aware of that spirit that is inside of the body?
Yes.
Because, you know, we're mostly focusing on the matter, on the physical part. And part of this shift, this change that we're going through, to me it seems like that it's, we're starting to focus on the other part of us, that spirit that's inside this body.
Well, as we begin to disengage this physical reality, disengage from it, this is why I spoke upon the things about your bills and things of this nature. All the things that connects us to this 3D, we have to begin to detach ourselves from. And as we begin to do that, we're allowing those pathways within us to open to the higher frequencies to receive the information that's going to allow that change to take place within us. But as long as you're holding on, and as long as you got, you know, I'm worrying about the stock market, playing a lottery. I'm not saying anything against the lottery or anything like that, but I'm saying if our hopes and our desires is predicated on these things primarily in the three-dimensional reality, then we're going to be stuck there. So as you begin to detach yourself from it, you are preparing yourself for a higher dimension and opening yourself up to
Isn't each dimension deals with different, like one dimension might deal with matter and another dimension, like the fifth dimension we're going into, is that dealing with mostly energy? And so this is how, you know, we can, our thoughts and things like that.
Well, I would say this three-dimensional reality is playing out the karmic debt that's associated with the countless incarnations that have occurred in previous lifetimes. This is what the three-dimensional reality is dealing with at this particular time.
Okay.
It's what holds the three-dimensional reality together is time and gravity. As time speeds up, and you're hearing this often, and I'm telling you, you're going to probably begin to hear it in mainstream very soon. You're not hearing it in mainstream right now, but you're going to begin to hear time is speeding up, and they cannot understand why.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is that as time speeds up, we are losing the density that magnetizes us to the three-dimensional reality, not necessarily to the earth, but to the three-dimensional reality. And as we begin to accelerate, we begin to prepare ourselves to make that transition from the third to the fifth, which time would not be relevant. And then we can truly become the expression in which we were created to be in the first place. This is the place where we want to live out whatever thoughts that we create.
Okay. Well, Mark, we're down to our 40 seconds left in the show. I want to give the people your email. They can reach you at Mark, M-A-R-K, Gatson, G-A-S-T-O-N, 1@hotmail.com. That's Mark, Gatson, G-A-S-T-O-N, 1@hotmail.com. And we're at the end of the show, and I want to thank you, Mark, for coming on. And you're breaking it down real simple so that we can really understand what is going on.
Well, I appreciate being a guest on the show, and I'd like to return in the near future because
there's
a lot of information I'd like to share with the listening audience. And I feel grateful to have this opportunity to do this because just a part of what I've been told that I have to do. And I didn't know that it would manifest itself. But one of the things that I was told was that I have to, I'm here to help raise the vibration of the planet and the people and on the planet. So this is the reason why I'm here. So I enjoy doing it.
Well, we appreciate you, and we thank you for joining us, and we will have you back.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Peace and love.